Voilà. And our eyes are closed and we've come into the shrine of meditation, the shrine of presence. Which doesn't mean that outside the shrine is not meditation and presence. But when we're in the shrine, it's a time to remember the deepest truth together. It's like a sanctuary to truth, but truth is not more present in the sanctuary. And I know you all know this, truth, presence, God, whatever you like to call it, awareness. The heart of all hearts is present. At all times, in all experience. So there's no difference. But nevertheless, we gather in the shrine together. To remember together the truth of our experience. Which is that God is present at the heart of every experience. And when I say God, I may be offending some of you, so apologies. I mean by that, whatever it is that you love the most, and whatever name you like to give that which you love the most, that's the truth that I'm referring to. So allowing ourselves to truly feel the divinity of every experience. And we don't have to do anything to experience in order to feel that. Simply we welcome every experience moment by moment when we're in the shrine knowingly. We welcome every experience in the knowledge that it arises straight out of truth. Out of the source. Every thought, every sound, the sound of this voice the sensations, perceptions, feelings, tinglings, breath, tension, anything that is perceived knowingly. Welcome it fresh out of the source. Feel that the thought that arises doesn't come forth from the story of me, from somewhere in the head, from my past. Feel that it just arises fresh and innocent, which it does, and which you know it does. It's your experience. And feel the same with the sound of this voice. Let it arise like a little gust of wind out of the blue sky. And let it unfold and disappear. And recognize that you are the blue sky out of which the sound of this voice or the tingling of the palms of your hands or the nagging thought or the movement of the breath arises, and you are the sky of presence. That's what we do when we come together in the shrine, in the sanctuary. We knowingly rejoice in the recognition that we are that in which all experience rises out of, unfolds, and returns to. And we know it. In a way, this sanctuary, this outer sanctuary, which is our gathering at 9 a.m., online for an hour and 15 minutes together. It's a mirror image of the inner sanctuary, which is our heart. And I'm not sure what I mean by that. But it's the place, the placeless place that knows the truth deep within. Or I want to say it's the place that is the truth deep within. Feel yourself to be that. I. Not I, the body or the mind. Not I, the feelings, the resistance, the story. something else, another I, the real I, right this moment. And then so much space is liberated for experience. Experience no longer has to masquerade as I. The body can be free, the thoughts can unravel without having to be cohesive and revolve around that other I. Like you give that other I a break, the person, the separate self. You let that separate self unwind, undo, you undo it. It gets undone, the separate self. It doesn't have to disappear, but whatever it's made of, all these thoughts and feelings and feelings in the body and emotions, all these stories, the past and the future, all of that that creates the I that seemed to walk into the shrine. You let that I unravel moment by moment. That's what we do in the shrine, but that's what we can do often. We don't have to wait till we get together like this to return the body mind to its source. And it takes a bit of time to do this and a little bit of courage to do this. It takes the fire of love for the truth to be rekindled, which is what we do when we come together. We feed that fire together. And then, once the fire is burning strong, we make it our altar and we surrender to it all that we think or feel ourselves to be, moment by moment. But we know it's safe. There's no danger. We surrender every thought, every feeling, every sound, every story, every fear to this fire. It's a sacrifice. Sacrifice means to make sacred. As you welcome or surrender your experience, the innocuous sensation in the shoulders, the tugging thought, the boredom, whatever it may be, as you fully allow it, that's the offering to the altar. You return it, you sacrifice it, it becomes sacred, it is returned to its source. Even if it was not a pretty thing, a negative thing, unfinished business, an unfinished me that you were hoping would finish, resolve, become a better me. You don't have to wait for that. Just surrender the thought, the feeling, the story. as it arises. And remain as the real I that you know that you are. So how could you not know it? And taste yourself, this real I. Is it open? How open? Does it have borders? Or is it borderless? Be open to the possibility that it doesn't have borders, and that it is pure openness, even as you may perceive and feel borders and contraction. Borders and contractions you place in the fire as they arise. Not so that they disappear, but just as an offering to the truth. As a way of saying, I know what is what. I know what I am. And strangely, as you surrender contractions, resistance, and every experience to the fire of truth, meaning you welcome them fully, strangely, they're transformed. Or I think the word is transfigured. As if they themselves, these layers of experience, of experiences, remembered their divinity. Now let's bring our attention to the body more particularly. Just welcome the body such as it is, moment by moment. Alongside the sounds, there's a sound outside my window that is, you may be hearing, feel that you don't have to ward that sound off. I don't have to ward it off. It's welcome just as you welcome the sensations of the body. And when you welcome the sensations of the body, don't have a map for the body or an image. see if you can just taste the body directly, moment by moment, in its free dance. Fresh, for first time, never tasted the body before. Know nothing. I don't know anything. I don't have any spiritual concept about any way the body should be experienced, or nor do I refer to the past, just the current tinglings and pulsations, movement or heaviness, areas that are labeled, if you were to read the label, although we're not reading labels, but if you were to read the labels of some of these sensations, you would read unpleasant, but then you're not reading the label. So tasting unpleasant for what it is, all the different shades of it. Pleasant. Letting this body surface innocently, this body that usually we hold tightly bound in its obligation to be the envelope for the separate self, to be boundaried and defended, or defending the separate self. So when we taste the body now, just be willing to feel. And maybe you feel webs of tension and tightness. Feel the face, and the eyes and temples, the jaw. And especially feel the sky that you are, that surrounds the bodily sensations and completely allows them. So it's a feeling that I don't live in the body, but rather the body lives in me, and I am this borderless sky, completely transparent and weightless. And in me, I welcome and I allow and liberate the body of any obligation. Feel the legs and the pelvis and how they rest on the earth. And really feel, taste the feet, the ankles, the calves, the knees, the thighs, the touch of the clothes against the skin, and the touch of the body against the earth, texture, temperature. Feel the emotion of that connection, body and earth. Is it friendly? Is it fearful? Can the body let go into the earth? Try. See if you can empty the weight of the legs into the earth. No danger. Feel that feeling of not safe, not quite safe. Just welcome the fear, that layer of defense. See it for what it is. It's a sensation. Really begin to taste your emotions, and especially the negative ones, so-called negative. They're full of life, those ones. So when there's a little tightening in fear, I'm giving the label, but forget the label, taste. the ripple of intensity that we call fear, where is it? In the belly, in the solar plexus. Yes, now feel the arms, feel the shoulders. If you're like me, there will be lots of sensations in that area. Feel the upper arms and the weight of the arms, the elbows, the lower arms, the wrists, the hands, the fingers. Feel the whole length of the arms from the shoulders. Can you surrender the weight of the arms? But don't live inside the body or inside the arms. Live as the openness. You're already free of weight. It's just the body. It's just the memory of the body that isn't. And we just need to be patient. You're free. But this memory body is not yet emptied out. Without moving the body, just feel that you're shaking the arms down into the earth. Don't move the body at all, but just feel that the arms are dripping down like two rivers. You can kind of shake the hose of the arms, the flow of the arms, and same with the legs. They're hanging down in the earth, porous earth. Long flowing legs, long flowing arms. Don't worry, don't push it, just be open. Yeah, now feel the spine rising out of the flowing down of the arms and legs. Don't do it, just listen deeply inside the torso. Somehow you'll find perhaps the vertical line of energy. Under the pain that may be present. Don't worry about the pain. You don't have to get rid of the pain to listen to the true body. The pain is selling you something on behalf of the separate self. It's saying, no, 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 I'm the body and I'm in pain and I'm defending. But be courageous to listen more deeply under the rubbles of the separate self. Feel the spine. Make sure you drop the sacrum and the sits bones and the legs, and then from the pubic bone, feel a rising. Don't see it, feel it. It may do something weird. Let it do whatever it wants. Now feel the head. Gently, tiny little movements of the head to just connect with the head. And then no more movement. Top of the head. See if you can sense the top of the head. And from the sensation, let that sensation flow like a pathway up towards the ceiling, drawing the spine, but not pulling like a dead weight thing. It's more like encouraging the spine to be flame-like, to rise up. Push a little bit more with the top of the head. A little bit more. Drop the arms a little bit more in the legs. Say yes to the pain and the tension. You're welcome, but I'm not buying what you're selling. Shake the arms without moving the legs. And now don't push the top of the head anymore. Don't do anything at all, but just empty the whole posture. Feel the whole posture. However it is, as imperfect as it is, as wobbly and tense as it is, let it be as it is. And then ascertain that you are the openness in which it floats like a cloud. Let it float and empty of its weight. Be courageous. Empty the cloud. More. where you think it can't be emptied, empty. Empty the back of the neck, empty the shoulders, the back. Where it hurts, you go there with your little magic scoop, you empty it out. Empty, empty, open. Open the windows and the doors and the articulations of the body and the hips. You go there, you open wide the windows and the knees and the ankles. Open the windows and the wrists and all the articulations of the fingers and the elbows. Yes, well done. And if the body is making loud noises, let it scream as much as it wants. It's okay, feel the touch of the space all around the body. The space all around the body is friendly and alive, and it's you. Feel that you surround the bodily sensations. Let them go, these bodily sensations. Let them be free, free. Yes. Feel the jaw, the face, everything that is held in the face and the throat, the feelings behind the eyes. In the throat and the mouth, the screams, the moans, the all those uncivilized layers of sensations into sound that may be palpable. Just say hello, say you're welcome. The tension in the eyeballs, let it come up, let it bubble up. And make sure that you keep referring back to the borderless space all around, beyond the sky. Slowly we bring movement to the body, which has been so patiently still, and that can be difficult sometimes. I know it is for my body. She loves to move. It loves to move. So let the body move if it would like. It might be enjoying the stillness. Feel the torso drawing a circle around the edge of your seat. And the arms are resting, maybe the hands on one, on each knee, or just resting passive. See if you can drop the shoulders. And feel the torso's moving in a substance, a liquid, thick substance. And there are currents in this liquid that move the body, so you don't have to do it. Just make sure the circles are as big as can be without needing to create a contraction. So it's lubricated in the hips, it's lubricated in the shoulders, the head is free, and the breath is free, and you are this presence that tastes this thick ripple of sensation. Yes, now that's direction change Don't do it. Taste it. Slow. Make sure the head is not rigidly resting on top of the spine. It's like the top of a plant or a tree that is being moved by currents of wind. And although it's moving as one unit, there's a flexibility in the spine and the head. But don't see it, feel it. Yes, now let the torso very slowly find its place where it likes to be, where it likes to disappear. You're the sky, you just let the torso come back in you, fold back in you. Yeah. Now feel the shoulders, right shoulder, left shoulder, floating up. And don't do it. Make sure you don't float up the hips or the legs. They stay completely surrendered to gravity on the shoulders, like clouds floating up and up. But I'm dropping the hips, I'm emptying the legs, but I'm not doing it. I'm not doing any of it. It's happening effortlessly. The hands and fingers completely surrendered, now hovering the shoulders. Empty this whole posture of its weight in all directions. Yes. Yes. Don't move the shoulders. They're hovering. It's okay. The chin might want to lower a bit. And then very slow, very, very slow, smooth pouring of the shoulders down. You are the space in which the shoulders are being poured. You eat this liquid substance of the shoulders. Slowly. Breath is free. No reason to do this. Just saying hi to all the layers of resistance and tension. Saying hi, I don't buy what you sell, but I welcome you in my home. My home is this borderlessness. And you are my child. You didn't know that. You thought you were a salesperson selling me the story of separation. But in fact, you are my child. Make sure the shoulders are as empty as they could be. Let the hands rest back down. And now the head and the neck make a circle. Very slow, very smooth, and you don't do it. You're just enjoying your children moment by moment. You're enjoying the ripple of sensation called neck and head, but also whatever else is arising. The sound of this voice, the breath. You're enjoying the touch of your hands on the fabric. Enjoying the thought that rises up. You don't care, you enjoy everything. You enjoy that which sometimes when you're outside the sanctuary, you don't enjoy at all. Here you enjoy. Because you know better than to not enjoy. And now the direction changes. And feel that the movement, the ripple of the head and neck is liberated. Through this contemplation, it no longer has to hold anything and it can be free. And feel now that the head and the neck begin to move without any notion of how or where or direction. Just let the head head and the neck move free. And let that engage the whole torso, the spine, so that from the head and the neck, the rest of the torso move free, no right, no wrong. And then from the torso and the head, you let maybe an arm float up, or perhaps not. And the spine may collapse and rise. The spine is like a snake or like a plant. It loves to move. Discover. Just letting movement colonize this body because it's very natural and lovely. Feel the movement through the arms and the hands. Maybe through the palms of the hands with gestures, shaping. But don't do it. Just let these words come and go and fall into your own deep listening dance. The body can stand or stretch the legs. The sounds can come if they want, but go gently to begin with. Otherwise, you can be sure that the separate one will take over. She'll say, ooh, I've got an opportunity now to reassert myself. And if she does or he does, that's okay. Give her a chance, give him a chance, but then stay with it so that you reconnect with a more innocent expression. And sometimes it has to start with a more separate expression. There's no right or wrong here, and if it's the first time, don't worry. If there's inhibition or fear or resistance, then that's the place to start. You go there, you go to the fear, you go to the resistance, the kind of, I don't know how to do this, I don't like it. You go to the disconnection and you listen. And you see what happens. You see what wants to happen on a tactile level, on a kind of wild level. On a level that doesn't make any rational sense. What wants to happen with this resistance in my hands or with the sounds? And don't forget that you don't live in the body exclusively. I mean, sometimes you might like to play at taking residence in the body and fully shaping this body, but don't ever forget that you also live as the sky. But give yourself permission to live as the doer also. If you don't forget that it's not a separate door, you can really allow this body to animate. To become the instrument. Of doing, and you trust the doing. the pulling, the pushing, the reaching, the shaking. If there's illness in the body, these moments can be moments of tapping into another intelligence, another way of relating to the illness. And I don't really know what I mean by that, but perhaps that's what I mean, is I don't know what I mean, and I don't want to mean anything. Just trusting the hands and the head and the energies. And feeling the willingness for the body and for you, in a way, to be the instrument of the greater unfolding. Yes. And gently, gently let the exploration subside. In other words, let the physical body come back to stillness. But don't feel you have to gather up all the energies that are still moving. Let them continue to do whatever they do. And forgive me for not being as clear as I could be, but when we enter this realm, it's difficult to be very clear because it's a realm where we're exploring right at the frontier between levels, you could say, between the absolute, between pure consciousness, pure awareness, and then this creation. This experience that is my experience. And in these contemplations, we want to align our perception with what we know to be true, which is that our essential being is this borderless awareness. We want to align our perception of the body with that understanding. But so we want to purify our experience of any perceived separation. At the same time, I don't want to suggest that there isn't an individual shape to each one of us. And I don't want to pretend that we don't each have a circumstance and a current circumstance. And a story, a life. A trajectory, you could say. So, but at the same time, we don't want to let these stories of ours and these shapes that we are become mechanical. And the way they become mechanical is they reassert themselves based on the past. Through thinking and then projecting into the future. So that's not a great way living a natural life But at the same time, there are feelings and there are layers that want to be expressed and need to be expressed and need to unwind and deliver their intelligence, and in order for the next step, for the next shape to emerge. So I don't know if I'm making any sense, but all of this that I've just said is what we attempt to explore in these contemplations. Our God nature and our human nature. And of course, they're not separate. Anyway, don't do anything. Just rest for a few moments more. In this mystery. As this mystery. And when you're ready, gently let your eyes open without feeling that anything changes other than more friendliness, because we get to see each other. So friendliness multiplies. And take your time just having a look at those whose cameras are on, or the names that are visible. Hi, Narina, Carmen, Elaine. Hi, Adam. Good morning. Emmanuel, Vivian, Jim, Binks, hi Binks, Ben and Aya, good morning, Ika, hi, Sarah, hi Kirsty, all in white. And Sujata, all the way in Delhi. Hi. And my friends Femke and Carlo. Marianne, hi. I hope I'm not embarrassing you, but this is slightly like when you're in school. And hi, Alice. Nice to see you. And Tobias. Let's see, we have a bit of time, so maybe I'll just see if anybody has a question or something they might like to share. So if you do want to say something, just wave and I'll unmute you. And there's no obligation. Oh, hi, Rosanna. Narina, was that a wave? Yes. Okay. There you go. Hi.
Hi, Ellen. Nice to see you.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while, yeah.
I just wanted to check with you because it's the first time that I have done the meditation on an actual yoga mat and not on my bed. And it has a totally different feel because I was forced to, you know, not forced, but I, you know, to maintain a sitting position. So in the beginning, I was very, very aware of all the tensions and yeah. And I felt a little rebellious.
Were you sitting on the cushion, Narina?
No, I'm sitting on a thick yoga mat.
Okay.
You know, those double thickness?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I think it's not a good idea to battle with your body. And so if it's too intense, I would suggest, I would maybe have a cushion as well. And then make sure you're allowing yourself to change postures. Like, okay. Are you sitting cross-legged?
Yeah, I kind of switch it around on top and bottom.
Yeah. But maybe sometimes extend one leg out. So because it isn't very natural for the body to be so long, to be so still and so focused on intensely. We do explore the body very intensely. So there will be a lot of possibly layers of tension that become surface. So it's a balance. It's a balancing act. You don't want to give in to the resistance and spend the whole time kind of wiggling around.
Yeah.
So you might want to, you know, really arm yourself with some courage and keep asserting this borderless space so that you can. It's a real invitation when you sit down on the floor. It ups the ante a bit with the kind of web of tension. And at the same time, you don't, you know, as I said, you don't want you don't want it to be too hard because we're in the shrine, we're in the truth. So, you know, you might go back to a chair and then come down and play around with it. But it's quite good to be on the floor somehow.
Yeah, it was interesting because it was a bit of a battle in the beginning. But I see a difference in the, and especially when we start moving, because I'm more fluid. I do, you know, kind of move around, and it wasn't bad. It was good. I was, in the beginning, I was less able to feel the, you know, the transparency, the cloud, you know, the borderless.
Well, you might want to start out with it on the chair for the first part, which is more meditative. And then when we start exploring the body, then come down to the floor. That might be a nice solution to begin with. But I hear you. And I think it's great that you're exploring. Because in the end, as we know, it doesn't really matter the content of experience. It's what matters is that in which experience unfolds. At the same time, we're liberating the body of this, you know, terrible job it has of always being, right?
Yeah.
A slave master to the separate self. So, yeah. I think you know what to do, Narina.
Okay. Thank you, Ellen.
Good luck with it and see you again soon.
Yes. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hi, Binks. I'm unmuting you, I think. Oh, I just remuted you. Wait, there we go. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Everyone, or afternoon, depending on where you are. I just wanted to say how much I loved the what you said in the meditation about the mother and the children to welcome all these little children. It completely, there was this wonderful shift in perspective. I sometimes identify, I know that consciousness is genderless, but I like to identify it as mother.
I do
but
too.
but because of that, of everything. Yeah. Because of the, sometimes picturing it as a container, inner, almost womb-like, sometimes I have identified with the child aspect of that, but then suddenly to identify as the mother or the parent, welcoming all these children of aches and pains or expressions, different expressions, it just was a wonderful shift. I thought, there was something very encompassing and welcoming.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I love that. It's great.
Thank you for that. Thanks for saying that, Bings. Yeah. I think it introduces that unconditional quality.
Mm.
You know, that a good mother, of course, many of us, you know, our mothers did their best, but maybe they were not.
Yes.
So it can be a bit of a loaded concept image, but we all know what that, the great mother, you know, the great mother, the unconditional, unconditional, undemanding, just this intelligence of the mother that, she gives birth to all experience, so there's not, you know, it's that beautiful energy that we all know somehow. We all are. So we all
are. Yes. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much, Bings. Bye bye. I'm not bye bye.
Not bye. Yes. Yes.
Bye. Alice.
Yeah.
It's not Alice. Alice has transformed.
Yeah, Alice is here. We're meditating together. And I have a question. In the path into oneness, my name is Ian, I already said. And in the path into oneness, I discovered there's some certain things I am like naturally born with. For example, certain tendencies, certain characteristics, certain predispositions. For example, I like the color blue or this color that I'm wearing, or certain food, certain music. I am with natural tendencies to do certain things, and that is making this kind of difficulty, because there are certain people with different tendencies, and I understand this oneness, and then there's this big I.
Yes.
There is this smaller I that likes this color blue and that food and that music. And there's that desire to surround myself with the color that I like, to eat that food that I like, to listen to the music that I enjoy.
Yeah. And what's the problem?
Well, where is this the desire coming from?
From God. From the big I that likes to experience itself as lots of different eyes. So, like, the preference for blue is still God's preference. Where it becomes not God's preference is if you can't have the color blue and it creates suffering, then you know that suffering is an attachment that was developed for the color blue, a kind of identity with the one who likes the color blue. There you kind of divorced God a bit, or God divorced itself a bit. It fell in love with its own creation. So I don't know if I'm being clear, but in other words, there's nothing wrong with having preferences. It's natural. It's how it's, you know, like different species in nature, different animal species have different ways of being and habitats and all this. It's normal, natural. But the interesting part would be to make sure that there's not a kind of attachment. Or when there's an attachment, then you know you're in the realm of suffering, and you can shine a light on it too, so that you can reorientate yourself.
So when there is kind of a pain, there is this separation and attachment.
What do you mean by pain?
The pain and suffering is very similar. Yeah. So this is that the signal when there is this attachment and then this.
If I take away your blue shirt and I say you can never have a blue shirt again, and if that creates, you might go, oh, I love blue, you know, why not? But it's light. But if I say no, you can't have blue anymore, and it creates a deep suffering, like I will never survive without the color blue, then you know that there's something there for you to look at. It's no longer God's desire, God's light desire. It's my desire, and my happiness depends on having blue. You see the difference?
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating a little bit.
But it's important to have this.
So you can, and we, most of us, we have a bit of a mixture of both. We have preferences that are healthy and light, but they're suffused with attachment. It's normal, you know. It's how that's what we call the ego. It's separation. It's conditioning. So therefore, it's an interesting, very good question, and we have to be gently and honestly looking to see when.
And I was wondering if 100% detachment is even healthy.
No, you see, I don't think I'm even suggesting. Well, that's just a theory, right? What would 100% detachment be?
Is it even possible?
In other words, I don't think you should have that as a spiritual agenda. Like, I want to reach 100% detachment. No, just live your life in line with your understanding. And that will include becoming aware of when my happiness depends on this
when
or that
this,
happen. And don't worry about
triggering some pain.
Yes.
There is where it starts being the attachment and ego.
Yes, but don't have the idea, I have to become detached 100%, because that's just another attachment to being detached. Just, your love is for the truth. So when there's pain or suffering or contraction and there's the opportunity to inquire, do. And then go swim in the blue sea, you know. Like.
Beautiful. Thank you. It's very clear now.
Good. Thank you. What's your name again?
Ian.
That's
Ian.
My adoptive son.
Okay. We're meditating together here with Alice. Beautiful day. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a few more minutes if anybody else wants to make their voices heard. Alice wants to make her. I can't unmute you. Oh, there you are. Hi, Alice.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you because I just had a surgery. They found cancer in my genitals. So it's a week now, and it was beautiful because I was going really beyond the pain, and so that was very helpful. Thank you.
I'm glad. Thank you, Alice. Good luck with it.
Beautiful meditation.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we're thinking of you, and good luck with the healing process.
Yes. Thank you. Hi, Sophia. Good morning. There's no obligation to speak, by the way, so when there's silence, you know, that's, I know you know, but just in case somebody was like, is somebody going to speak? Or just. But Adam is going to speak. Hi there.
Hi, can you hear me?
We sure can.
Great. So always in the beginning of the meditation, and there's a lot of resistance that comes, or maybe during the whole meditation, and it's very, very intense, and I often zone out, and I'm not really able to hear what you say, and it's almost like the whole body becomes a big bowl of resistance. And yeah, and I zone out a bit and get almost unconscious, if you understand, completely. And I was wondering if you would have any suggestion on how to go about that.
And what do you stay zoned out for the whole meditation?
Oh, no. It comes in periods.
So what do you think brings you back? How does that, what's the process of leaving and coming?
It's always something different, I think. Sometimes it's movement, sometimes it's something you say.
You see, I think it's very natural to have resistance, to zone out and to come back. It's not a process that is meant to be followed linearly, like a good student at school that's supposed to listen to the teacher and do everything that, right? It's a very intense, as you say, exploration. And I would trust these zoning out moments. They're moments where they're happening. And on some level, you're allowing them. So on some level, the zoning out is allowed. It's seen. It's an expression of separation, of resistance, you could say, that is on some level seen. And I don't want to make too many suggestions. I would just say that just remember that your deepest interest is for the truth. This is why you come. This is why you're willing to put yourself through this difficult experience at times. It's because of your deep interest. So trust that deep interest. And it will take you. It will bring you back. It meaning you in a way. The truth in you will reorientate itself towards the truth. When you zone out, it's like the center of gravity is moving away from truth. The belief in separation is slightly taking over again. But because your deepest longing and love is for the center of gravity, for the fire of truth, sooner or later, up it comes back. And because we're all gathered around, and because I'm guiding, it's whatever, it's more intense when in these moments. So you can trust. It's like, and then whoop, I'm back. And it means that you get familiar with this. So that in life, you know, when you are zoning out on your screens or whatever you do, it will start to taste, doesn't taste like truth. And you'll lose, you know. So if you are doing it perfectly, attending the meditation, everything perfect, no zoning out, no, you might as well go do something else, you know.
What?
I mean, I'm not actually, no, if they're enjoyable, that's wonderful. But I think for most of us, when we're at some moment or another, it's demanding. And has this been an answer to your
question? Yeah, absolutely. Very much so. And sometimes it feels like, oh, I really don't want to come to the meditation at all. And then like, but something in me just like, oh, I really want to go. And I do it. And almost after, I'm always so happy that I went.
Yeah.
And it's always, yeah.
Yeah. I can't help it. Sometimes I think, okay, we're going to do it less intensely today, Ellen. Because I think they are quite intense because they're very still. So, but I find myself there too, and I'm feeling all the resistance too. But somehow I know that it's a deep dive and it's good, and I don't know. But yeah, so hopefully the answer helps, and we can continue together.
Lovely, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, I think I'm going to unmute all of us because we're out of time. I want to hear little voices saying hello and goodbye. So you're all being unmuted. And thank you all for coming this morning.
Thanks, Ellen.
Yeah, thank you, Ellen.
See you next time. Thank you. Thank you, Ellen. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ellen.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Have a lovely day.
To see you all.
Bye, Femke.
Bye.
And Carlo.
Bye-bye. In faces.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, Adam.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
Great.
Ready for tonight for Rupert's intensive. Anybody come?
I'm able to. I'm not able to come.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Very nice. I guess you forgot.
More.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
Wait, I'm still attached to it. Hang on. Bye. Sarah, I was still attached to it. I think. Wait, hang on. I think I might still be. I don't know. Wait, hang on. I think I am somehow. I don't know how to disattach myself.
Hey, Ben and Eyal, where are you guys?
Hey, we are in Israel.
How is it there? I heard it's getting a bit tough.
Yes, it is.
Hang on, I don't know how to disattach myself from the main thing.
Hope you're well.
Thank you.
Actually, I just wanted to know who's in Delhi? Is there somebody in Delhi?
No.
Oh,
I'm in Rome.
Maybe she's gone.
In Rome?
In Italy, yeah.
I'm in India. Okay, bye everybody. So really nice to meet you.
You in Delhi and you guys in Israel. My next few trips. Eventually, sometime.
Yeah, sometime when it's possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Hang on, Sarah. Stay there. Okay.
Have a wonderful day. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, Adam. See you soon. Bye, Carmen. Bye, Marianne. Bye, Ben. Bye, Bill.
Bye. Bye-bye. Good to see you, Grandma. Hur mår du? Mår du bra? Pratar du med
mig? Ja, jag pratar med dig. Ja. Men detta hör alla nu, va?
Ja, men det är bara du och jag här nu, tror jag.
Alltså. Ja, vi tar det på telefon. Ja, vi... Det är jättekul.
Så kul att ha dig här. Och det är så bra.
Okej. Alltså, då lämnar jag nu.
Ja, men... Ja, det är bra.